set up here. Well, good morning again. Second good morning. This is the official good morning that I'm giving you. Today, before we get into our talk, let's see if I can get that slide up here. There we go. So our title today is Dealing with Anger. And again, normally what will happen is throughout the week, I'm praying about what I need to talk about, and God will confirm it in some ways. Oh, and this week, He definitely confirmed it, because I don't know about any of you, but there's always something throughout your week that just rubs you the wrong way and gets you a little angry. Am I the only person in the room with that today? Okay. But sometimes anger can be thought of as shameful, and sometimes it is sinful. But in church, we've all probably had this same thought, is that, you know, people can't know I'm angry. People can't know that I have some sort of anger I'm dealing with. And I just want to start with taking away the shame side of anger today. And I want to tell you, if you have any sort of anger, it does not disqualify you from following God. There wouldn't be much of a Bible left if it did. There wouldn't be a Moses, there wouldn't be a David, there wouldn't be a Paul. And honestly, most of us wouldn't be here today. Anger is often one of the most misunderstood emotions in the Bible. And again, many of us grew up believing that it's something that can't even be expressed to some degree. And over time, people just try to learn new ways of dealing with it, acting like it's not there, acting like you aren't supposed to have anger. But we've learned different ways of dealing with it. We've learned to over-spiritualize it. We've learned the I'm fine answer while still keeping scores in our heart of the things that we're still angry at. Others of us go the opposite way and have to tell everybody about what we're angry about. We have to explain it. We have to justify it. We keep replaying the conversations in our head about what happened and obviously why we're right. But here's the truth. Most angry people don't realize that they're angry. They just think they're right. Am I hitting somebody today? And they can tend to think everyone else is the problem. And that's how sneaky anger can be sometimes. But the Bible doesn't treat anger like an on and off switch. It shows us that it's a signal in many ways. It's a signal that something in our hearts that we love and care about is under attack. Or it also shows us what we're going to talk about today, that sometimes our love can be disproportionate towards things that are getting attacked. That's why we don't all get angry about the same things. Because we all love different things to different degrees. Some people get angry when their ego is hurt because they love their reputation. Some people love comfort so much that even the little bit of discomfort they may feel causes them to become angry. People get angry when their money is touched or they lose it all because they love their money too much. Anger reveals, again, what our hearts love the most sometimes. And that's why anger itself is not automatically a sin. It's a reaction to the things our hearts love. One of the most prime examples is how Jesus in the Bible flipped tables. His preferences weren't offended, but the poor in God's church were being misused and misunderstood. Jesus' anger shows the level of love he had for God's church. If you never get angry about injustice, if you never get angry about people being mistreated, If you never get angry about God being misinterpreted, sorry to break it to you today, but you're not much like Jesus. You know, again, with this new type of thinking about anger that's been coming about, it's acting like it doesn't exist. It's acting like anger all in itself is wrong. And there are wrong ways of handling your anger, but if we never get angry about things, then you probably don't love some of the things God needs you to. And here's where the tension comes in. This same anger can move us towards justice, but also can pull us into pride. Yes, it helps protect the things we love, but it also can become self-seeking at points. And when it lingers, it grows. And when we don't stop letting anger serve the things that we love in some senses, it can become something that guides us every day. And it's not like you're obviously coming out here flipping tables and everything, but it can come in very subtle ways throughout your life. If you never deal with the anger that you might have, you can make little sarcastic comments here or there. You can quietly resent somebody. You get very impatient very quickly. And then you become unforgiving. You can be highly aware of everyone else's flaws, but very blind to your own. Because again, angry people are always right, and you're not supposed to question that. And again, this is dangerous because if this goes unchecked, it creates a path away from where God's leading us. A path that doesn't allow us to be patient, a path that doesn't allow for humility, and a path that doesn't allow us to be compassionate. And that's not the path God wants for us. And Scripture never says, never be angry. It says, be angry and do not sin, which tells us something very important today, that there's a way to carry anger with insight, and there's a way to carry it the way God intended. And today we're going to talk about that difference. We're going to talk about how our anger can either align us with God's heart or it can draw us away from it. And in many ways, it can prevent us from accepting God's grace in situations that we need to accept it in. So again, today isn't to make you feel guilty about ever being angry or anything. That is not the goal today. But we're going to talk about understanding it and how to deal with it the way the Bible teaches us and the way Christ dealt with it. So, here we go today. Let's see if this works. So let's basis for today. Understanding anger. Anger itself is not a sin. We're going to get into this a little bit more. Anger is a natural reaction to the threats against the things our hearts hold dear. And again, even Jesus got angry. Some of the most famous examples, Matthew 21, verse 12 here. Jesus went into the temple, and throughout all those buying and selling, he overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. It wasn't like somebody said, hey, Jesus, I don't like your haircut today. No, he wasn't mad about something that was done personally to him. He was mad about something that was affecting the misrepresentation of God's house. And again, this is where anger is okay, is if it's aligned with God's heart. God's heart wasn't for the people to just have an easy buy-in to church. God's heart wasn't for people to just make it a place like the mall. God wanted to have these people to understand a certain level of respect and honor coming into his house. And that's why Jesus got angry here. And again, that's probably the most famous one or easiest one we can think about today is in Matthew 21. But let's take a look at some other instances. Another one, Mark 3, verse 3 and 4, if you're reading in your Bibles today. He looked around at them angrily, and he was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to them, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and was restored. At once the Pharisees went away, with the supporters of Herod to plot how they were to kill Jesus. So you see, that word angrily is up there. Jesus got angry. Why was he angry? He was angry because in this situation here, Jesus saw this man with this issue with his hand that he needed to be healed, and the Pharisees wouldn't do it. They just left it alone. And again, Jesus is mad in this instance when somebody's overlooked. Now today, this isn't a main point, but we can often just think that we don't have any capability to do what Jesus just did there. He has placed that same power inside of you to be able to not overlook people. When you see people being mistreated or misused, or you see somebody struggling with something, God is able to produce some sort of emotion in you because of the compassion he has for somebody else, to provoke you to do something for them. Not in a bad way, but to do something like this. To not be like these Pharisees who, as Jesus says, have hardened hearts. And that's where Jesus got angry also. Another time, the disciples were here, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. So people were bringing kids to Jesus. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. Other translations, angry. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God." Another instance Jesus is getting angry here is when people are prevented from seeing him. These kids were told, "No, you can't come see Jesus." But today, I want to point out that if we never get angry, we're not much like Jesus. And anger, an important key today, is it seeks justice for the things it loves. These types of anger are okay as long as they're within reason with God's word and the aligning of his heart. Another note to notice, if you're an angry person, check if you're highly attuned to people's failures. That will tell you very easily. If you're very quickly looking at somebody else's wrongs and you're able to pick those out but not be able to recognize the ones of your own, then that's not the type of anger we're talking about today. Anger, the good one, can compel you to stand on behalf of others. But if it's not used in that sense, it can become self-seeking. Last instance here. Okay, never mind. I'm going to move on. Important point here. If you think in the Bible, one of the angriest characters is God. Correct? Old Testament God, kind of scary. Fire and brimstone, scary. He's one of the angriest characters in the Bible because he's also one of the most loving characters in the Bible. I want you to think of this. If you had a kid and you told them multiple times, don't go running in the street, there's cars coming, and one day you see him starting to run in the street, what's going to happen? You're going to get a little angry, first of all, because you've told him, please don't do this. And you're going to yell, and you're going to say, get away from the road, because there's a car coming. Is that bad? No, because you care about this child that they're not going to get hurt. In the same way, God cares about us, and he becomes angry when we sin because it hurts us. It prevents us from living the life he has called us to and intended us for. And that's why he's angry at points. Because he does love you enough to want to see you whole. As well, we as humans are capable of great anger, but just as much, we're capable of great love. Think of the Apostle Paul, who was angry with Christians. He'd murder them. But then when he encountered Jesus and realized who he really was, his whole persona changed. His whole person changed. He became capable of a greater love in the absence of his anger. Think of it this way. We've all, hopefully, at some point, once or another, gone to buy paint at the store. You go to the store, what do they do? You give them this plain can of white paint, and you give them the color that you want it to become. What happens? They have this special machine, and it mixes all these different colors to get that one that you want. And think of it this way, that plain white paint can is like our hearts. And our emotions and the things we love are these different colors that are being mixed in. God has a specific color in mind for your heart, a specific place of peace. And what happens is if we take up certain offenses and don't ever deal with this type of anger, just a little bit of the wrong color ruins the whole paint can. And it isn't what God desires from us today. As we go out through this message today, I want you to ask yourselves these questions if you're dealing with some sort of anger, which most of us probably are. Does my anger become constructive to what God's purpose and grace is, or is it being self-fulfilling? Continue to ask yourself that today. So, the key verse for today, well, before we get there, the path that anger takes is very tricky, and this is something I want us to look at today, but anger is also one of the most difficult and strongest emotions, and if it is left unchecked, it can take us down some paths that we don't want to go down. So, our key verse for today, Proverbs 19:11. If you have your Bibles with you, highlight the word insight here. A person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. All right, that's great. This doesn't have anything to do with anger. Yes, it does. An offense, and many times, is what provokes our anger. Sometimes we need to gain this type of insight that this proverb is talking about. Because when you understand and gain this insight, it allows for patience to grow. And so you're not reacting as fast to the things that make you angry. And from there, it becomes part of your nature, or becomes a virtue, to just overlook it. Not everything, but some things. Let's take a look at this. The word insight is bina. Say that with me. Bina. It's the ability to draw out motives. Be attentive, understanding the difference between the lines. As well, it allows you to step back or be able to see the bigger picture. Many times when we get angry with things, we just react. We don't try and understand what's really going on. We just know what we've seen and perceived and just run with the anger at that point. The first step to dealing with this is gaining understanding, is gaining this bina that we're talking about, this insight, to be able to understand what is making you angry about this situation. God's desire isn't for you to become offended. He wants to change your nature to be understanding and forgiving. So today, you're going to get angry. It's bound to happen. You got one of two paths to take with this. This is the unchecked anger path, based off that verse. You're going to get angry. You're going to become impatient. You're going to be resentful. And then you're not going to forgive, and you're just going to live out your life in bitterness. Now, if we check our anger, we're still going to get angry. I'm sorry, you're still going to get angry. But you can get insight or understanding about what's going on and why it's making you mad, which allows you to forgive that person or thing that happened and allows you to have compassion on the situation. You see, it can go one of two ways when you become angry. Somebody cuts you in line, okay? You get impatient. Oh, what does this person think they're doing? Where do they think they gotta be? And then you hold that unforgiveness in your heart. And now every week when you go to this place and this person keeps cutting you in line, you're always gonna be bitter. Okay? Or person cuts you in line. Oh, come on. All right, I'm gonna let it go. I've probably cut people in line too before. And it's not that important that I need to be first in line or something. Okay? Not the end of the world. That's gaining insight and understanding, which allows you to forgive and allows you to be compassionate on the person who just cut you in line. Simple situation, but this type of outline allows us to see kind of any situation that provokes us to be angry. And again, angry people are always right. Don't question it. But we can take it a different way today. Knowing this, what Jesus wants us to see is that when we're so able to point out the wrongs in others and able to get angry at them, that we have to remember that same thing is in us too. Jesus gives this example of a log in somebody else's eye that's still in ours. And you're only able to see that log because it's in your eye too. And this is where grace comes in when we're angry. And again, the path that we just talked about here, this distracts you from the overall picture that God's taking you to. This distracts you from being a vessel for God to use. Last week, Pastor Mike talked about being a vessel for God to use. Sometimes if we don't check our anger, it discredits our witness. I wouldn't want to listen to somebody who knows Jesus and is still one of the angriest people I know. Like, God's good, but, you know, I hate your guts. Like, no, I'm not listening to that. Like, that disqualifies your witness in many ways. And that's another reason why it's so important to address anger, is that if it is left unchecked, it becomes very subtle in our lives. And it sneaks in with different things, with how we talk, with the things we do, with how we care for other people. And really, anger becomes this foothold for the enemy. Ephesians 4:26, if you have your Bibles, shows us this. Little joke here is, when Paul puts therefore somewhere, it's therefore a reason. Okay, that wasn't that bad. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry. Okay, he's giving us a pass here. He's saying, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. I want us to look at this. Again, being angry isn't a sin. What you do with it, that's where it gets complicated. What Paul is pointing out here is he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't go throughout your life not addressing how angry you could be. Don't go through life not addressing the things that made you angry about how you grew up. Don't go through life not checking about the anger that what that person did to you was wrong. Because many times, if we don't address it, we become numb to it. We become an emotionally numb person. And God doesn't want an emotionally numb person. He doesn't. He needs somebody who's able to experience this full type of freedom that he has for them. And again, if we're not careful with our anger, it gives the enemy an opportunity to do something with. We need to address this anger that lies in our past and our present and allow Christ to free us from it. And again, it's not just don't be angry, it's be angry and do not sin. Be angry about the things that God's called you to be angry about. Don't just, you know, be a rainbows and sunshine Christian that pretends there's nothing wrong outside. It's okay. Seeing people getting like treated wrongly should stir some sort of emotion in you. And even Jesus did the same thing. And maybe God wants to spur you on with this message. Maybe he wants to reveal something to you that's there. But nonetheless, he sees where your heart's at. In many ways, anger can hide itself through different addictions and different things. Alcoholics can be some of the most angry people you've ever met. Christians can be some of the most angry people you've met. But God nonetheless wants you to find that freedom that's in him. He wants you to experience it, no matter if you're an alcoholic, no matter if you're a Christian that hasn't seen it yet. Nonetheless, he's got that for you. Again, Paul was an angry person, but then when he saw who Jesus really was, he was able to change the entire scope of his life and his heart. Think about it this way. We all have heard the story of Joseph. He had a great coat. Brothers took it, beat him up, threw him in a ditch, sold him. And then he goes into slavery. And then he goes to jail. And then from there, he gains favor with God and with some people and gets a good position in the rulership at that time. From there, it's been years since he's seen these same brothers. There becomes this great famine that goes out through this land. There's a big food shortage. And these same brothers that beat him up and threw him to slavery come to see him face to face again. They didn't realize it was him, but Joseph remembered. And at that moment, I think Joseph, for many of us, we could see how he had every right to be angry at them and just deny them. But I believe in many times in our lives, God will provide the same types of heart checks with us. That the people that once made us very angry for what they did to us will soon find a way back to us in somehow that's going to check our hearts. And if we're not careful, we can react the wrong way. If this anger goes unchecked, God might have to check us out. So, where else in the Bible is anger handled the wrong way? Well, Jonah. And I know when I think of Jonah, I don't necessarily think of him being an angry person, but yeah, it's there. Anger can surface when God doesn't act the way we expect or prefer, and often unchecked anger leads to exaggeration or despair. Sometimes maybe those people you hear, or maybe it's yourself that just are like, ah, I'd be better off if I weren't here. Sometimes they're just angry people that have had something happen that they haven't been able to address. Let's take a look at this. Jonah 4, 1 verse 2. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. Some of you got that. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Keep going here. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? And notice, Jonah doesn't respond here. What does he do? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. So let's stop here for a minute. Context to this is Jonah's a prophet, and he's given this word to go bring to the people of Nineveh, and that is to repent, to turn back to God. Yet, when Jonah was given this message by God, he said, what right do these people have to hear it? And he got angry. He got angry that God could want to save somebody like that. And so, in this scene here, he had just given this word to them. And he went out, and from a distance he just watched, because he was like, all right, surely God's going to send the fire on them and destroy them. And nothing. Nothing happened. Yet, he got angry. He got angry that these people didn't get destroyed. I mean, that's insensitive. But he became angry. And he recognizes that God is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. And he points that as a flaw that God has. He's basically saying, okay, God, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to be nice to them. Like, why did I even have to come here? And I think, even though none of us are going to Nineveh at any point, that we can still get the same type of attitude, the same type of anger. We can be angry when God doesn't act the way we want. We become angry when we don't get the outcomes that we want. But again, God's response to him is simply, is it right for you to be angry? Think of another story, and then we'll come back to this. The story of Job. Job had every right to be angry, and he was. But what did God do? He just reminded him of who he was at that point. He said, who are you to be angry? I created you. Who are you to be angry? And I think in many ways, for some of us, we have this level of anger. And God needs to work through us to be able to let it go. Notice here, God didn't condemn Jonah's anger. He questioned it. Because if it was wrong, if it was utterly and terribly wrong for God to do that, then he wouldn't have. He just questions it. He said, is it right for you to be angry? Now, Jonah's pride was rooted in nationalism and personal preference. As we see here, he withdrew and he sulked and he argued with God rather than aligning with his heart. As we see here, God provides this plant for him. And later we see God also sends a worm to eat the plant. And then Jonah gets angry again. You see, God's checking his heart at this point. And it's not just about Nineveh at this point in the story. It's something deeper in Jonah's heart. It's a level of unforgiveness he has towards God and towards the people of Nineveh. Even though he never got a sorry, even though he never got anything, God was checking him to see if he could let it go. So, what are some key lessons from this Jonah story quickly? Key point today, if you're taking notes. Anger is wrong when it resists God's grace, purpose, or compassion And note this too, that grace allows us to have some humility as well. Grace allows us, when I'm wrong, to be able to say I'm wrong and to be able to understand that I'm not always right, and neither are you. It allows us to see the log in our own eye before trying to point it out in somebody else's. Anger forms when we cling to what we want instead of aligning with God's purpose. We can say it this way too, is anger is wrong when we love something more than we're able to surrender it to God. Anger is wrong when it's loved disproportionately. You see, Jonah, at least with the tree, was so in love with his comfort at this point that he was angry when it was taken away. Another verse about this, two verses. James 4, 6 shows us God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5 shows us this. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Notice in 1 Peter here, it doesn't say be humble. It says clothe yourselves. That's something you can do. That's something that you can put on yourself. It's an action. It's not pray God, please send humility my way. I wouldn't pray that if I were you. It might not end well. It's something you can begin to do. And that comes with understanding, and that comes with insight. So today, I want us to think of it this way. Sinful anger grows where pride lives, but grace flows where humility remains. Somebody write that down today. So, I have a dog. I know it's random, but you'll get it in a second. I have a dog. His name's George. He's 100 pounds, maybe 110 on a bad week. Big dog. But when he was a puppy, he would always pick stuff up and make us chase him. And it was some stuff he'd pick up was just like terrible for him if he knew it. But what would happen is he'd run around through the house. He'd hide under the bed, hide under the table, go in the kitchen, run outside, you know, anywhere to run from actually having to deal with us trying to take it away from him. And one time, actually, before that, in these moments when George would, we'd catch him finally, myself or another family member, we'd have to grab whatever was in his mouth, and we'd have to look at him and say, George, drop it. And he would let it go. And he would let it go. Now, another time this happened, I was doing something, and we had this little fireplace. It was a gas fireplace, and underneath, the gas lines were exposed. And out of the corner of my eye, when George was a puppy, I saw him crawling under there. And before he could, like, chew the line and, you know, blow us all up, I saw him and I ran over to him and grabbed him from behind and I said, George, drop it. And at that moment, he took his mouth off the line and I could pull him out. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Listen, if George can get this, we can get this. Sometimes we have too many of us running around, picking up stuff, getting angry about stuff that in the long term is going to hurt us. And sometimes we have to just remember that God just needs you to drop it. He just needs you to drop it. And if we don't let it go, it really can blow up the whole house. It really can. And again, if George can get this, I know we can get this. And again, it's hard to just let things go. It's hard to just drop it. But I promise you it'll be worth it in the long run.
Amen.
Because, again, if that day George just bit the whole line, we had a leak in the house, and somebody went and turned on the stove, we're done. That hurts all of us. But because he was able to drop it, it ended up, you know, not killing all of us. Another point today, if we look at sinful anger as this raging fire, then really grace is the tool we're given to be able to put it out. Grace is needed when we're angry, not just for the other person, but for also us. A pastor was meeting with his wife this counselor one time, and he was talking about his wife because he became angry that his wife was forgetting to do all these certain things and was forgetting, you know, important things to him, and he was angry. And the counselor sat there and listened, and again, this guy's a pastor, and the counselor said to him, "Have you forgotten the message of the gospel?" And the guy says, "No, I'm a pastor." And the counselor goes on and he said, "So you understand that we've wronged God far more than your wife has wronged you. You've wronged God far more than even possible to imagine. Yet, still God gets angry, but he's still merciful and he's still gracious to forgive us." And so he told the pastor, he said, "Try to reciprocate this type of grace with your wife." Again, it doesn't solve all the problems, but it does allow for some understanding, insight, as we talked about. With that said, let's review. Well, drop it, first of all. If we're not careful, we can pick up offenses that can cause more harm than good. And again, take note of this. Grace is needed when we are angry, not just for the other person, but for us as well. I've heard it said this way: we have to remember first that we're a sinner, and second of all, that we've been sinned against. Remember first, God has forgiven you. Remember first that when you're angry, God was probably triple times your anger, yet was able to give you grace and forgive you. And you see, the wonderful thing about our God is he doesn't write it down. And he doesn't say, "Okay, you know, like I gave you some here, but not as much over here." No, he forgets and forgives. If you would, I didn't have this on the screen, but two verses just came to mind. As we saw in Jonah recognized in his anger that God was a certain way. If you have it, turn to 1 James 19. I used to have a teacher that if you ever messed up in class or acted out in some sort of way, you'd have to rewrite this verse over and over and over again. And see, it just came to my mind. Shows you how well behaved I was. "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Recognize here that even Jonah understood that God was slow to anger. Yet here, James is telling us that we as well need to be slow to anger and quick to listen. As well, in Philippians 3, verse 13, one of my favorite verses, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching to what is ahead, I pursue as the goal and prize promised by God in heaven by Christ Jesus. And again, if we're using the analogy of my dog George, you can't reach if you're still holding on to something. You got to drop it. So to review here, dealing with anger in a very brief, compact message here today, we have to recognize something. We have to recognize what or who is making you mad, or if it's a past offense that lies really deep within, what happened. Secondly, we need to gain that insight or that bina that Proverbs 19:11 was talking about. Why is it making you mad? What that you love is being under attack. And then once you can understand that, if it's your reputation, if it's your comfort, then are you loving that disproportionately? Are you loving that more than you trust God's word to be able to drop it and let it go? And then examine it. Is the anger rooted in disproportionate love? And then finally, as we talked about, say it with me, drop it. One more time. Drop it. There we go. Remember the grace that God gives to each and every one of us. And be able to forgive and release the burdens that you're holding. As we close today, and worship team, if you want to come get set, I want each of us to close our eyes and bow our heads. And again, that question that I asked you at the beginning, is your anger serving God's grace and mercy and direction in your life? Or is it still holding you back or keeping you bound? Is it allowing you to be fully His, forgetting what lays behind you, being able to reach towards the new things that He's got for you? Or are you still holding on to something? Some of us today have had some things in our past that have really deeply hurt us in our lives. And it makes us angry. But I want you to remember, in the same way that you're angry, remember that God was right there with you through it. Remember that Christ is able to restore that to His purpose for your life. That no matter what happened, He's able to redeem you and restore you from what that person took from you, from what happened that made you this way. God's able to do it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to see this, Lord. God, with every head bowed and eye closed, continue to remind us that when anger comes, Lord, to be able to let it go at points. And Lord, at other points, fire us up to get angry about the things that Christ was angry about. God, each of us is somewhere today, but for those of us still holding on to something, God, help us picture You on the other side, helping us let go, taking it away from us. God, thank You. Thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord, for everybody in this room today. Thank You that with Your grace, we're able to be set free. With what Christ did and the finished work He did, Lord, that we're able to not hold this anger anymore against anybody, but we're able to let it go and give it to You, God. God, some of us are in here today And we come in here and we try and put on a good smile and say everything's fine, Lord. But today that person, Lord, needs to experience your freedom, God. Help them to let it go and give it to you, God. Set them free from this, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Holy Spirit, please help us. Help us to see the path you're calling us to. Help us to understand. Help us to forgive. Help us to be compassionate towards those in need. And help us not to be so judgmental in our lives, Lord. God, thank you for all these things. Thank you that you continue to give us breath every day. Thank you that you continue to wake us up for your purpose, Lord, that we might serve you with our whole entire lives, Lord. God, if we're not able to let this go today, God, continue to remind us to not let the sun go down on our anger and not live a life with deeply rooted anger, God, but that you may continue to show us your way, God, that you may continue to allow us to forgive just as we've been forgiven. Thank you, God, for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Worship team.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, FCC family. We were so happy that you were able to join us today. I hope you were blessed as I was by the word. And I just, this week, I feel like what the Lord has been laying on my heart has been be quiet, and just listen to the Spirit and listen to the Lord. The world has been very chaotic. 2026 has started out with a bang, but it's important that we are just quiet and we just listen to the Lord as we go about our day. Amen.
Amen. And I think that would help us in not being lukewarm. Just sometimes being in the presence of God and that stillness allows us to know what God wants us to do in our lives and for the world.
Amen. And again, we would love to thank you for joining us. We would love to hug on you in person if you want to join us on Sunday mornings at 95 Sagamore Road or Wednesday nights. And if you need prayer or if you want to reach out to someone, call or text the number on the bottom of the screen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you next week.
Have a blessed week.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye.